The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The fire of your coming, the glory of your presence, will shake the earth and every heart will know. You are Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, the God of Israel, Defender of Zion.
Shalom. What a blessing it is to have another time together with you, my radio audience. I am Rabbi Steve, and I am glad to be here with you. I represent Sheresh David Messianic Synagogues. We find them in South Tampa in St. Pete and Wesley Chapel, and also our Spanish-speaking congregation. So, please check our website, ShereshDavid.org. Shoresh is spelled S-H-O-R-E-S-H, and then David.org. And you can come to our services Friday night or Saturday, find out the times and the locations. We would love to have you. This is a really busy time of the year. You know, today actually is Purim. Yeah. And it's a busy time of the year because not only is it Purim today, but we are preparing for Passover, next month. And I just, was visiting a church this past week and did a Passover Seder for them. Really, it was a wonderful time. And I'd love to go to your church as well, your Bible study, teach you all how to do home seders. We'd be able to send you Passover Haggadahs. So we invite Jewish people to your home and have a seder. That would be fantastic. It's great for Christians as well. You learn so much. You see the connection between Passover and Easter and the preparation for Easter. So definitely give us a call at 813-831-5673 or email me at rabbi@heartofmessiah.org. And even this past Friday, I went to a high school to talk about the Holocaust. That was exciting as well. So, one final thing I'd mention to you, each year I make a 50-day devotional called Counting the Omer, which is based on Leviticus 23. If you want that book, either digitally or in a copy of it, we'll get it out to you as soon as I finish it. The devotional begins one day after Passover, which would be April 24th. And it ends on Shavuot, Pentecost, and we would be blessed if you got one or more. Generally, we charge $3, but if you don't have the money, don't worry, we'll send it to you free. So, as most of you know, if you need information about our radio ministry or any of the announcements I've made, you can call our office at 813-831-5673. Don't forget to come visit us. We'd love to see you. So, as you might imagine, today we're going to talk about Purim. One of the customs as we celebrate Purim is the reading of the Purim story from the Book of Esther, and that is also called the Megillah. Purim is also about the physical salvation of the Jewish people. So let's look at the background first. The time period of Purim is between the time of the two temples, approximately 358 years before the Common Era, before Yeshua. And the Persian king Cyrus I gave permission for the Jews to return to Israel and to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, because not everybody left when they were given permission to go. And after Cyrus died, though, Ahasuerus, in a dramatic power struggle, took over the kingdom. And he took for his wife a woman by the name of Vashti, the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar, the former king of Babylon. It was Nebuchadnezzar who was responsible for the destruction of the temple and the exile of the Jews to Babylon. So rather than reading for you the entire story of Esther from Scrooge, how many of you have read the book of Esther in the past years, right? It's not usually a well-read book, right? But it's a great book, and I would recommend you read it. But I'm going to give you a summary over it. Chapter 1, King Ahasuerus throws a party, 6 months celebration in his third year of king, and his queen Vashti refuses the king's request to display her beauty for the assembled guests. So the king advised, the king's advisors counseled that Vashti should be replaced with a new queen. So they went through all of Persia to look at the beautiful candidates, and the Jewish girl, Esther, the niece of Mordecai, is brought to the capital as one of those candidates. And Mordecai, Esther's uncle, tells her to hide her Jewish identity. And there are 6 months of beauty treatments, and finally, after a process, Esther is chosen to be queen. We'll look at more of that later. Mordecai learns of a plot to overthrow the king. He tells Esther, Esther tells the king, and the plotters are hanged. In chapter 3, Ahasuerus appoints Haman to be his prime minister. If you were in our congregation, whenever we mention Haman, we boo. He requested that everybody bow down to him. And, of course, Mordecai wouldn't do that. So Haman got mad, and he vowed not only to kill Mordecai, but to kill all the Jews because Mordecai wouldn't bow down. So Haman asked permission of the king to destroy all the Jews, and they picked the 13th of Adar, a date to kill all the Jews and take their possessions. Chapter 4, Mordecai hears of this and tears his clothes and puts on sackcloth and ashes as a sign of public mourning. And he sends a decree to Esther asking for her to talk to the king. Esther replies and says, hey, I can't go to the king unless he summons me, otherwise I'll die. Mordecai says to her, look, do you think in your soul that you will escape in the king's household more than all the other Jews? For if you remain silent in this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Who knows whether you have attained royal status for such a time as this? So Esther sends a message back to Mordecai and says, go gather together all the Jews who are in Shushan and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days or nights. My maids and I will fast in the same way. Afterwards, I'll go to the king, even though it's not according to the law. And if I die or if I perish, I'll perish. So Mordecai left and did all that Esther commanded him. Now Esther tells Mordecai to ask the Jews to fast and pray, and then she'll approach the king. So interesting that God is not mentioned in this book of Esther, neither is prayer, though it's assumed that they prayed, but God and prayer seem to be all through the story. Anyway, chapter 5, Esther's strategy. King Ahasuerus receives Esther and grants her any request. And she says, she'd like the king and Haman to join her at a banquet. And then Zeresh, which is Haman's wife, suggests that Mordecai be hanged on the gallows. So in chapter 6, the king can't sleep, and so he asks somebody to read the royal chronicles, and he learns about the... So he wants to, you know, bless Mordecai, so when Haman comes in the next morning to see the king about hanging Mordecai, before he can say anything, the king says, "Hey, I want you to honor Mordecai by dressing him in royal garments, place him on a royal stallion, and personally lead him through the streets of Shushan, capital of Persia." You can imagine that Haman was really mad. Now, chapter 7, during the second banquet, Esther reveals that she's Jewish and announces that she and her people are about to be murdered. And Esther identifies the problem as Haman. And the king says, "Okay, I'll hang Haman on the gallows that was prepared for Mordecai." And so chapter 8, Mordecai is named prime minister to replace Haman. A second royal edict empowers the Jews to fight and kill anyone who would try and harm them. And chapter 9, on the 13th day of Adar, it was designated for the destruction of the Jews. The Jews become victorious over their enemies, and the 10 sons of Haman are hung. And the 14th and 15th of Adar are designated to celebrate their salvation, and Mordecai initiates the Purim practices consisting of a festive meal, the exchange of gifts of food, and the giving of monetary gifts to the poor. So that's my summary. Now we can learn, what can we learn from Purim, right? Number one, the story of Esther is about a king who wants to display the glory of his bride, and she is the crown jewel of his kingdom. And Yeshua is also calling his bride, the body of Messiah, to display her beauty to the world. And you know, some people refuse to do that, just like Vashti. But others are like Esther. Her beauty is to be seen for her love for one another, and that would be expressed sacrificially. So we have to decide whether we're going to be like Vashti or we're going to be like Esther when the king calls us. Second thought, how are the Jews to express their celebration as they rejoice after being saved? Not the way you would think. Well, they had fellowship, but then they gave gifts of food and gifts of money to the poor. So I ask you, when you get a victory in life, when something good happens, when you want to rejoice, is that what you do? Give gifts to the poor and money to the poor? In Luke 12:38, it says, "From everyone given much, much will be required." So the second thought or lesson is be generous because all you have is from God. A great lesson that the Jewish people teach us as they celebrate Purim. And to this day, we still do that. Our congregation made Purim baskets for those who are at home and can't get out. And we give money, literally, to various people in the congregation who are struggling. Three, the third thought I would give you from this idea of Purim is what was asked Esther. Who knows if you have been called for such a time as this? Like Esther, many of us are surprised when God calls us in some way. The question is, did we hear the calling and did we obey the calling? Esther did. God uses Esther for two major purposes. She saves the Jewish people from physical destruction, And she represents also, the second thing is she represents the body of Messiah, who also have a role. You and I have a role in the salvation of the Jewish people and all people of the world. So our second lesson, or our third lesson, I should say, is we are all called to sacrifice ourselves to see our people and all people saved. This is a big part of our calling. Are you being obedient to the calling of God? When's the last time you have shared your faith? Number four, we learn strong values from reading the book of Esther because of her behavior. She's willing to sacrifice herself and her desires for others. This demonstrates the depth of her love. When you see someone with that type of strength, it's easy to follow their lead. Mordecai did, even though Esther was younger and she was a woman. So, and part of her behavior is showing strong values was she was very teachable, very humble, and very obedient. In Esther 2:9, we read that Esther found favor with Haggai, the guardian of the women who was preparing them, these women, to meet the king. And she was favored, and Esther received special treatment from Haggai and special foods, and it was because of her humble spirit. The king spent time with each one of the women and gave them whatever they asked for. However, when it came time for Esther to be in front of the king, Esther listened to Haggai's advice and didn't ask the king for anything. And so no wonder the king picked her. I mean, besides her beauty and everything else. But, so the king picks her because she had a beautiful heart. Now, she also talked about she obeyed Mordecai, even though she was the queen. And she didn't tell anyone she was Jewish because that's what Mordecai told her to do. But she was also bold, she was strong, she was courageous, yet understood her need to trust God. Esther's trust in God allowed her not to focus on the negative, but to see what she needed to do moving forward. She strategized, she made a plan, she didn't worry about what happened yesterday. Reminds me of that scripture in Philippians 3:13 and 14, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself as having taken hold of this, but this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal for the reward of the upward calling of God in Messiah Yeshua. And so even though this is obviously prior to Messiah Yeshua, she had that same attitude. In Esther 4:15 and 16, she declares a fast and asks Mordecai to do the same. Well, that's a role for men to do, not a woman, even though she was queen. And yet, people listened to her because of her humility. And she declared, after 3 days of fasting, that she would go to the king, even if it costs her her life, which shows her strength and her resolve. And it also shows her loyalty. Loyalty to Mordecai, loyalty to the king, and loyalty to her Jewish people. So this was another lesson, that your behavior matters. Your character is important. The heart that is obedient, humble, teachable, and loyal wins in the end. This is the beginning of true discipleship. So will we be like Vashti and decide we don't want to be on display, disloyal, disobedient, and certainly not humble? You know, some people say, well, I'm too shy to share. Well, that's fine, but it's still disobedient. So get over yourself and listen to God, right? Or will you be like Esther, loyal, obedient, humble, teachable, bold, and purified? Queen Vashti refused to come to the king, disobeyed the king, was a bad example to others in the kingdom. The people who counseled the king worried that women might make a habit of disobeying if they see the queen disobeying. Esther, on the other hand, honored the king. She would bring glory to the king and the kingdom. Vashti had everything but lost it because she did not respect the king's authority. Maybe she didn't like his parties or his drinking. Who knows? Maybe she didn't feel that he loved her. Her feelings were hurt, so she felt it was okay to disobey. But whatever you do, disobeying carries a cost, right? So like Vashti and Esther, we have all been put in a high position by God. And yet there are so many reasons we give for not being obedient and having poor behavior. God said in 1 Peter 2:9, "You're chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Like Esther, this is our calling. Now we have to pick. Who are we going to be like? Esther or Vashti? There's no fence sitting. That doesn't work. Pick one. God wants you to proclaim his word. 2 Timothy 4:1-5. This is what it says. "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and Messiah Yeshua, who is about to judge the living and the dead as his appearing and his kingdom. Proclaim the word. Be ready when it's convenient or inconvenient. Confront, rebuke, encourage with complete patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not put up with sound instruction, but they will pile up for themselves teachers in keeping with their own desires to have their ears tickled. And they will turn away from hearing the truth and wander off to myths. You, however, keep a clear mind in all things. Withstand hardship, do the work of proclaiming the good news, and fulfill your service." Okay, and what is fulfilling your service? What is following God? To proclaim the good news. The story of Purim is all about being under persecution and not allowing it to bring you down physically or emotionally. We must follow God's calling without discouragement or distractions, regardless of the circumstances we find ourselves in. Sometimes when you are in the worst circumstance and you do the right godly things, that's a greater testimony. So like Esther and the Jewish people, we have the victory. Amen? Okay. Passover's coming soon. We'll be talking about that. As I mentioned to you, it's the busiest time because we're often going into churches and doing Passover Seders. Are you interested? Your church, your Bible study? This week, our congregation, our congregation will be doing home Seders. Would you like us to teach you on how to do a home Seder? We'd love for you to bring pre-believing Jews into your home and have a Passover Seder so that they can know the good news of Yeshua the Messiah. It's great for them. It's great for Christians. It's great for non-believers, everybody. Passover will strengthen your faith and just witness of the fullness and faithfulness of God. So call us at 813-831-5673. We'll send out the Haggadah. We'll send out the counting of the Omer booklet, the devotional. And if you feel this program is valuable, we'd love for you to support it financially. Please do so. Call our office again, 813-831-5673. And visit us in the next coming weeks. Let's close in prayer. May the Lord be our first priority. Amen. And may you grow in your desire to have a heart like the heart of Messiah. I pray this in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
You are Messiah. Yeshua HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, the God of Israel.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.